Blog Talk Radio.
GRI is filmed on location by the men and women of Ghost Rider Investigations. All cases are suspect until proven genuine through scientific analysis and testing. Okay, we got a special edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio tonight, and we're coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, and we're going to just do a little bit of a kind of an improv show here. Don't normally see too many folks out on a Monday here, and it's a perfect time, though, to try out some new ideas and new things. See, we got a few folks out there. We got Brian. We got guest 6856. We have Haunted America Radio. Never heard of you guys, but I'll have to check you out. And, of course, I think I recognize Sir Malachi, so hi to everybody there. And Kat is, I think, at work, so we're just going to go ahead and wing it with basically a show tonight about my haunted property, of all things. So I was just looking at some evidence today that we did back in late May. Had to do with just kind of satisfying my own curiosity about some of the spirits here on our particular land. And we knew we had shadows and that kind of thing, but I really had never done EVP out here in any appreciable degree. So we've gone ahead and loaded up about 8, 9, or 10 of those particular EVPs. And we're going to also just take any calls that would come in. If you've got a ghost story, you've got something you want to talk about, kind of in general. It's a one-hour show tonight, but we'll be happy to listen to what you have to say. The phone number is 646-478-0377. And we're going to have a special guest on in about 6 minutes. We're going to give her a call using our Skype phone. And it's going to be Christine from ED Paranormal is going to come on, and we're going to just kind of go back and forth. She's a good friend that runs a great outfit up here in Placerville. Her and I have hunted together many a time, and she's a very capable psychic also. So who knows, maybe she'll even do a reading or two. Of course, I'm going to probably get killed for saying that. But anyway, she's going to be on here shortly, and might as well just jump into a little bit of paranormal news. So I'm going to pick it up from my own Gmail account. Looks like we have an acceptance on a guest invite from, of all people, the Ghost Trackers, who I believe it's Gloria Young has agreed to be on the show. So we're looking at August to have her in. And a matter of fact, I'm going to be staying over at Preston Castle, which was just recently featured on Ghost Adventures. Zach and the boys went out there and had quite a time, and I think Zach even got partially possessed. So I'm going to be carrying a few extra goodies to protect myself out there. Let's go ahead and jump into, let's see, the Los Angeles Independent here, Dining with the Spirits at Queen Mary, which I was at back here in, what was it, March of this year, and it got a lot of great EVPs, and some of those you heard actually being played on our music tonight, especially the Rumium Absolve Me, which I got in the Grand Ballroom. But this is at www.laindependent.com/community/calendar. And if you are real quick on the writing, it's 480-97857.html, and don't ask me to repeat it. Anyway, this is basically a special event that's going on Queen Mary. It's on June 20th, 27th, July 4th, and July 11th, my birthday. That's going to be at 7 o'clock at p.m. every Saturday at the Queen Mary on Queens Highway on Long Beach. And it's $109 a person with dinner, gratuity, tax, tour, and parking fees, and alcoholic beverages, which we never recommend for a ghost tour. So it looks to me like that's going to be a fun deal. You know, just if you just get a chance, just search on Los Angeles Independent Queen Mary, and that should pop up in Google. Let's take a look at the paranormal news. Really great site here. These guys do quite a bit of stuff, and they've got a great format. It's www.paranormalnews.com, and I just popped it up here, and they've got a picture of the Earth with a YouTube movie, so I assume that they think the whole Earth is haunted, which is probably true. Phoenix crop circles may predict the end of the world. Posted June 15th, 2009, crop circle experts believe that the latest pattern to be discovered, a phoenix rising from the flames in Wiltshire, may give a warning about the end of the world. This is not good. So for those of you survivalists out there, get your stuff ready. It's time to start packing. And go ahead out there if you want to take a look at that story. I'm just going to pop it up here and take a quick look here through the magic of Firefox. And I have to click again. That's kind of dumb. And this is out of telegraph.co.uk. Oh, so it's the Telegraph. It was a link to another newspaper. And the 400-foot design, I got a picture of this thing, and it looks beautifully done. Whoever did this or whatever did this did a really nice design. It was discovered in a barley field in Yatesbury near, I can't say the word, Devizes. And depicts the mythical phoenix reborn as it rises from the ashes. And, of course, I am a graduate of the University of Phoenix, so to me it looks like my alma mater is being celebrated. Investigators claim more formations are referencing the possibility of a cataclysmic event occurring on or about December 21st, 2012, which coincides with the end of the Mayan calendar. You know, I really think something's going to happen in the 2011 to 2012 time frame, but I just don't see, you know, that particular date, Yule, you know, 4 days from Christmas, and we're all going to buy the big one, and it's just going to wreck the Christmas shopping for everybody. So I think it's just not going to happen, and maybe they're just putting too much into this. But that said, let's check what the chat room is saying. Hey, Brian, can I link what? What do you want me to link, since I'm paying attention to the kind of doing a one-man show here, Brian? So usually I've got Kat manning the chat board. So just go ahead and tell me which one you want, the story for the end of the world, because I can pop that in for you here in just a minute. So when you get back to me with that, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next one. And actually, you know what? We've got a bunch of the EVPs we didn't play last night from Elsing's Secondhand Shop. So if we get through my stuff tonight, I'll go ahead and pop a few of those on. And we had Vicki Elsing on last night, and she was just really great. So it was a good show. You know, a really haunted store they have, and it's pretty amazing. The place you work is also the place you hunt in. She goes through that every morning, and we really look forward to having her on. Oh, the photograph. You want the photograph, Brian. Okay, let me read this off to you, since I'm not in a really good place to type this. But if you go to www.paranormalnews.com, and you'll look just below the YouTube movie there on the right, and the first story is crop circles. So if you just hit www.paranormalnews.com, you'll get that. And so, hey, we're up on the 9:10 hour here. We're going to go ahead and dial our guest. It's going to be Christine B., who's the head of ED Paranormal. And so we're going to go ahead and find the conversation thingy. And I'm going to add a person and click that. And let's select her, and I'm going to punch OK. And it looks like she's dialing. All right, this works great. Boy, I love this Skype thing. This is the best.
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hey, you probably want to turn that radio down. You know the drill. You're a radio host. You're just
okay,
like,
I'm going to...
Yeah, I can even hear myself in delayed time. That's good.
I know. Geez, how do I turn it down?
There's two or two of me. Oh, my God. What's going on?
Hi.
Hey. Probably won't turn that radio down.
Uh-oh.
You might want to... I'll tell you what. I'll give you a second. While that's going on, I'm going to try to talk over myself.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, don't worry about it. Hey. You haven't been on in a couple of months here since your show you were doing up in Georgetown kind of decided to end. And so
I know. Okay, I'm just shutting it down because I can't. Sorry, I'm messing you up.
I'm sorry.
Rip the cord, do something.
Unplug it. Unplug it. I can't shut it off. It won't shut off.
Oh, heck, that's not right.
Hold on, I'm going to shut off the whole computer.
Okay, we'll wait for just a sec.
Okay, done.
Oh, my God, she had the murder of the computer.
My
that's
computer
not good.
Was, my computer was haunted, sorry.
Boy, oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's the most disturbing thing for a radio host is when you hear yourself, you know, you're here in the studio, you're talking to a guest who's got the radio on, and I guess you've had it happen too. And you just,
oh, yeah.
You're like, your brain goes into this kind of quantum phase shift thing, and you're going, I can't talk. And it just, it just kind of.
I know, it's a terrible thing.
Time and space, and then the next thing you know, you're in a zero space continuum. It's just not good. Christine, you made it.
Yes, dear. I made it. I'm here.
Yeah. Let's go off with maybe introduce some of the guests to you, and let's see who we got still on. We've got we lost a couple, but we've got Brian in Haunted America and Sir Malachi are on. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do, and you know, where what you're doing now and where you're going with ED Paranormal, and go on from there.
Well, I've been investigating with you a lot. That has been fun. We've had some great investigations lately. And working on a book, nonfiction, have two novels published but about the paranormal, and working on a nonfiction now. And possibly a TV show about the paranormal, but we don't know about that for sure yet, but that's in the offing as well.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
That's all right. That's okay. That's about it. The great investigation we had in Virginia City a couple of weeks ago was fantastic.
Yeah, that was...
Best investigations I've ever been on, actually.
That was nuts. I mean, you know, we had the blue orbs, and just prior to that, I saw the half of a person. I saw just the legs running from the mine.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, and then you guys saw the blue orbs, and then Vicky, one of the other investigators, and myself were down at the other mining camp that was just down the road a piece, and there were buildings that were just totally abandoned. They'd been there, you know, for over a century, and her and I looked up in time to see a kind of a just a white, roundish, about 2 foot across apparition float right through the window we were both looking at. And I, you know, we were both shocked because it was just, it looked like it was just advertising. It was there to us. That's kind of the feeling you got, like, and we felt like we were being watched. And you had gone back. You had just left there and headed back. And then we got all panicked because you disappeared, and so we're looking for you.
But I didn't really disappear.
I know.
I just went back.
But we were figuring the worst. We figured something got you and carried you off, or or you fell down a hill and your body was laying at the end of a mine someplace. We're looking for you.
I know.
I was in a blind-eyed panic. By the time I got back, I'd seen apparitions, and my you know, one of my best investigators is gone. That's just not right, man.
Did you know Houdini on you?
Well, you know, I've got a perfect record with no deaths on investigations, and I intend to keep it that way, you know. It's just, that's just not it, you know. So,
that investigation was, it had so many things. We had so much evidence from that investigation that was really, really remarkable. And we had them in different areas of Virginia City and Gold Hill. And that's what made it just, it seemed like everywhere we went, something else was occurring. And it was phenomenal. In Piper's Outdoor House, orb.
Yeah. And you and I.
We walked.
Yeah, that thing we had together with the, over on the right side of the theater, on stage left, actually.
By the wood stove, that was amazing.
Yeah, we had our instrumentation. You had your analog. Yeah, and I had my K2, and we both were seeing spikes that were and they were, and yours was the audio version of the tri-field. And
right, the Gauss meter has an audio, and then your K2 has the light fluctuations, and that was just perfect because they were both spiking at the same time. It was just remarkable.
As a matter of fact, just to let you know, I caught all that on audio, so I've got I've actually done some of the evidence analysis on that, and we caught both of those key spikes that happened. And so, you know, I've learned a lesson is have an audio EMF with you if possible at all times. So, you know, and having an investigator have one in their hands. So I think as a standard issue, we're going to kind of, you know, throw one of those in somebody's hands when we're out on a case like that. So it was, and that place was definitely, there was a presence there. That thing that happened with the that Christmas ornament.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was insane. I mean, and for those of you in the audience who don't know what happened, there was a rainstorm that had just come through, and it was dumping a lot of rain, but there was really no motion of any air inside the theater. And Christine had her temperature gun with her, and she took a temperature reading because I just noticed this one lone ornament was just sitting there moving, and it was like it was being tapped. It had a deliberate energy to it. It wasn't like it was just waving back and forth from the wind. It looked like somebody was tapping their finger on it, and you could see.
Yeah, it was a definite movement and a continuous movement. So it was exactly like somebody was tapping it, and continuously tapping it. And then that went on for about 3 minutes. Even when we were around there, and we were testing for draft with our hands, and then I took my thermometer there, and the temperature was 74 degrees. Everywhere else in the theater, and when I took the temperature reading around that orb that was moving, that little globe that was moving, it went up to 86 degrees, like within seconds.
Yeah, that was insane. We just got repeated things happening in there. You know, we still got, I think I still got a little bit more evidence from there to go through, but overall, you know, we caught a lot there, and we did get EVP.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what we have. As a matter of fact, I got it on this laptop. I've just got to go through and pull the best stuff out. And we're going to go back, actually, probably in July to do a reveal over at the Gold Hill. And we may stop by Piper's just to show them what we got and, you know, hand them a CD and say, here you go. You're on it. So, and then we had that, we went up in the Millionaires Club over in the Washoe on the old Washoe Club, and that's where Vicky got felt up by a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't happen to everybody that often. That's
oh,
right.
My God, that was so insane. I mean, well, I felt something in there, and I said, you know, I'm going to go put the K2 in the corner because I felt like something was in the corner, and there were two chairs there. And so I put it down, and I sat down to Vicky's right, and I was just talking with her, and all of a sudden she got this wide-eyed look on her face, and she goes, looks at me just, you know, and she's just this Celtic red-haired, kind of blondish red-haired, classic Celt, and his big eyes are looking at you, his blue eyes are going, I'm being felt up. And I went, what? And then I ran over, got the K2, came back, and she said, it's moving up my leg. And when I moved the K2 in that proximity, I had four strong EMF pulses. And there was no way that could have been just an explainable field because there's no power in that part of the building.
No, there's no power at all up there.
Yeah, it's just
That was a very strange building.
Yeah.
It was like Winchester Mystery House up there.
And there are people actually spending the night in there, which, you know, I'd like to give that a try one day if we can swing that. That'd actually be a great place to, you know, go up and...
Yeah, there's a lot of activity up there.
Yeah. I think it would be good we stay in groups in there because I don't think it's threatening, but it definitely likes to play around with you. So that said, hey, we've got some EVPs here. I figure we probably want to... we got a bunch of the Elsing stuff. And here, I got one here, and I just want to see what you think. And you were on the property the first time the other day, and I'm not sure what you felt. I didn't really never ask you what you felt there, because you were there for about 4 hours doing the work with me on the EVPs.
Mm-hmm.
What was your impression?
I did not feel anything, especially not anything negative, that's for sure.
Okay.
I felt very comfortable there, very comfortable. I did not feel anything threatening at all in the area.
Okay, well, that's kind of how we feel. We're having a lot of the shadows and things that are appearing, and you know, we think it may have to do with my father and his condition. But so far, things are looking stable. He's actually doing pretty good tonight. He jumped me really bad about my ghost hunting and was accusing me about it. So. And
yeah, your father's he's wonderful. He's just the sweetest man.
Yeah, and he's definitely the I'm a total scientist thing, and you prove it to me. But I'll tell you what, whenever I tell him he's a member of GRI, he just friggin' wigs, and I just love it. So.
But he's never nasty about it. He just teases.
He's
very,
I've,
very
I've,
sweet.
I'm going to get him a shirt that says GRI official curmudgeon.
No, he could be your. He could be your. Oh gosh, the word just went right out of my head.
Oh, you mean my skeptic?
Your skeptic, yeah, you're skeptic. That's not the one.
Oh no,
about.
Curmudgeon. That's the best one for him. He is a curmudgeon.
He's so funny.
Anyway, you know, and actually these EVPs tonight are because of him. He was totally challenging me to go out and get EVPs in the yard, so I said, fine. I went out and grabbed the recorder, and I hauled my rear end out there, and lo and behold, we hit a bunch right out in the front yard. And this is basically the front yard and kind of out towards the studio where I'm at and towards the back north corner where we think that woman may be buried. Way back when. So I walked around and did some of this stuff, and we were getting Western-oriented type sounding characters. And this one here says, cover me, is what we think it says. So I'm going to go ahead and play it a couple of times and see what everybody thinks here. You hear that?
Yeah, I did hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take it up to 150%, but it's pretty clear. And what's weird is, you know, it sounds one way it'll sound here on my system, and then when you put it up on Blog Talk, sometimes, I don't know what it is about Blog Talk's filters, but it brings them out a little better. So here we go. Yeah, that I heard that for sure. Cover me.
Mm-hmm.
So It sounds to me like, you know, some sort of a cowboy or military type. I don't know. I mean, but definitely a male energy, I think.
Yeah.
Now, this one is kind of funny. We have a cat, which I talked about last night. We have a little teeny, teeny cat. We call her Bitty, B-I-T-T-Y, because she's a bitty kitty. And she thinks she runs the house. Well, she also runs, as I said last night, likes to run screaming through the house some mornings and some evenings like something's chasing her. And she'll all of a sudden she'll sit up and track and look at something that we can't see, although we can sense something.
That's a very that's a common signal that you have an entity in your house, a spirit entity in your house.
Yeah, and that's just kind of a trip to us that these things happen with the frequency they do. And this one, actually, I think I was in the house when I did the this part of the recording. And so this one, we think, says, "Don't mess with him, Bitty."
And
it's kind of low, so I've got it at 150%. We may have to kick it up. So let's go ahead and give this one a shot. Here we go. It's real low, but if you you heard the "don't," and then if you listen real careful, I'm going to take it to 200. Here we go. Yeah, I heard that a little better. You heard "don't."
I didn't hear. I heard the "don't" really well. The other part. Was there someone else talking in that, or was that just?
Well, there was a TV in the background, but it was definitely not the TV voice. You know, because it sounds a little better here in the studio when I'm playing it off of our audio here. But it's definitely saying "don't mess with him, Bitty." And we've had other references to our cat before on different things we've done, but that just was okay. They're talking to the cat now. The first time they were talking to the cat. We've heard them talk about the cat, but that's a new one. let's see. Let me find. Scroll down here. I got a bunch of the. I still have a bunch of the Elsing stuff here, so I got to sort through it. She had a ton of EVPs, and that lady was great. Here's one that we got actual first and last name. This woman says her name is Linda Covey.
Oh.
And it's and we I was surprised, and we had one other name. Right after that. So we'll go ahead and play this at 100% and see if everybody hears this. Come on. Whoops. Let me try that again. I'm sure that I loaded that up right. Yeah. Did you hear that?
I've heard something, but I'm not sure what I was hearing.
All right, let me try it again. It's you definitely hear the covey. Here we go, one more time. You know, that almost sounds like I'm Lynn Covey.
Yeah.
You know.
So where did you get that? Where did you get that EVP?
That one was right out in the front yard, right out where I mow the lawn every week. I mean.
That's not where the woman is buried, is it?
No, that one the majority of these were I started in the house in the den and a little bit of the kitchen and then moved out to the front yard and then worked my way around. And so I'm just not sure what to make of that, but we did get some interesting names. Now this one here talks about a guy named Michael Chisholm, and this guy says he wants to kill him.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. Here we go. Did you hear that?
No. You know, I'm wondering if it's my phone because I'm not picking up the.
Okay, I'll boost it.
I'm not picking it up too clearly.
Here we go. It's kind of a whispery one, but you can definitely hear it in the background. One more time here. Here we go. Whoops. That didn't sound quite right. See if I can get that. Oh, the reload. That's what did it. I got to come back to it. EVP. Okay, here we go. And I'll boost it. And here we go. You heard that?
Oh, Michael. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah. And we had another one here. This one was talking about not a buck. And that's exactly
not
what
a buck?
It, not a buck, like Bach, the composer.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think maybe we were saying something about music, and somebody says not a buck. So,
oh, okay.
Here we go. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take it up a little bit. I know. It's like, what the
heck? I think it was a mouse.
Now,
I think you have Chip and Dale in there.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of all these characters, but, I mean, they're hanging out at my place. And we got one here. I was a little worried about some of them, and I didn't, you know, I think I voiced it. And this one comes back and says, not evil me. And so let's go ahead and play that. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
It just.
And have you told your audience about the various spirits that you've had at your house?
Well, you've seen? Yeah. I mean, we could take a break there because I'll stop. I got a few more after this, but I mean, the property we live on. I think some of you are regulars on here. Let me see who's in the chat room. Oh God, we still got Haunted America, Sir Malachi. Fallen Rock, Brian. Oh, hey, Brian. Always good to see you. Global Paranormal, hello. Good to see you guys. If it's your first time on the show, you know, and listening to us, you know, we're out in Shingle Springs, California. We're in the Northern California gold country. I mean, gold was discovered 9 miles from my house, and I guess the same for you, roughly.
Yeah.
And this particular patch we're on right here had an actual gold mining community right on it. So we've actually found in our plowing of our gardens and stuff out here, we've picked up all kinds of implements, and we've had even found the forge where the blacksmith used to have his forge there. And we actually pulled up crowbars and things that this guy had, you know, built. And
there's a lot of previous activity on your property.
Oh God, yeah, and we for years we've had different things happen. We've had multiple shadow sightings, and I've seen two of them that are really large, especially in the fall months. We've had sightings of these like 6 and 7 footers. I mean, these things are big, and they move kind of weird. And you know, I don't get a good feeling from them, but I when I see them, I kind of back off, and they kind of just keep going, and I know they know I'm there. I don't know how I know it, but you know, it's the psychic in me or whatever, but they just they go booking their way and they stay out of my way, and we prefer to keep it that way. But we've had repeated shadow sightings, especially since Dad, you know, my father had the stroke here in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of
that
going on, and we think that's related, is folks watching over him or family dropping in. We've gotten indications that two of the shadows are a very close family who passed in 2003, from both of them from cancer. They were husband and wife, and they died within 6 weeks of each other. So that was just...
And your mother was telling me about, when I was there last week, that your mother was telling me about seeing one of those people walk across the hallway there in front of the living room.
Yeah, matter of fact, she was telling me about it the other day, and same exact scenario, and I was just surprised. She says, "You know," she goes, "Do you know who I thought of when that happened?" And I said, "No, no, Mom, who?" And she goes, "Your grandfather." And my grandfather was a pretty famous neurosurgeon and did a lot of brain research. So if anybody would know anything about this, about what my father's going through, it would be my grandfather, because that was his forte, was the brain. And so I had actually kind of popped. We got a big picture of him in my dad's room, and I was in there one day, and I looked at him, and I just kind of said out loud, "Grandpa, man, I wish you were here to help out," you know. And, this was about 2 weeks ago I said this. And then
your mom's
Yeah, my mom sees that, and it gets this impression in her mind, and I hadn't told her about what I had done. I told her afterwards, and she goes, well, that must have been it. And I said, yeah, I think so. I think we got the answer. So I think somebody's watching out for Dad. But, you know, overall, though, some of these are not related to the current situation we're going through. Some of them are just things that would have happened anyway.
Right, but you have a lot of activity, and you and your mom are both sensitive. So
yeah.
You're picking up things that most people would not be picking up, and that's the source of these EVPs. You know, it's not only the people who lived in that property before you, you know, 100 years ago, but also your family members are coming in because of your dad's health situation. They are coming in to try to ease the situation for your family, and the only way they can.
Yeah, it's been disturbing, I'll have to admit, you know. But at the same time, you know, I got to tell you, a stroke, when it happens to people, like what we had happen with Dad, it hit Broca's region of his brain. And this man is an engineer, you know, and a friggin' legend in the Pentagon for the stuff, the kind of work he did. Nozzle designer, did a lot of propellant designs. He had 70 patents in the U.S. Army. I mean, this guy is a brain. And it was really tough on him. But I'll tell you what I've learned from all of this, and it's real important that, you know, when you have a disaster like this or something hits your family, and, you know, you take the hit, but you keep getting up, you just keep living. And we have had more love in this household and more things that have happened and more getting close together and just getting through it together than you can imagine.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I look at it with a lot of, you know, I'm wistful about things at times, you know, with the things that have gone on. But at the same time, I give thanks for the chance to, you know, say goodbye in a way that I think is going to be, you know, good. And a lot of people don't get that chance, especially with a bad stroke like that. They will not make it through, and you will be in shock. So our feeling right now is we take every day, and we treasure it, and we get up and, you know, chronicle it and then talk about what makes us happy and go on.
Yeah,
and when the time comes, the time comes, and, you know, we'll deal with that. So, but, you know, the thing that – and this is what propelled me into the paranormal research is because you know, I really began to look at the life and death issues. And, you know, I'd been psychic my whole life, but I'd had, I just really never looked at the ghost angle of it. And I'd had a number of sightings right after Dad had the stroke. And that's what just kind of got me going. And so, you know, if it hadn't been for my father and all these things that had happened, we wouldn't be here talking today. You know?
That's right.
So,
well, you know, another thing that you should keep in mind too is that when someone has a stroke, their impulses in their brain changes, and so their energy that's emitted from them changes. And so it's a good possibility that your dad, without even realizing it, is actually precipitating the spiritual activity that you're having at your house.
I would not doubt it. I would not doubt it. And, you know, he's had a charmed life. I mean, I really think my father has a psychic angle all his own. He's Portuguese, and we recently found through some research in the family history that his family was from the island of Pique. And it turns out that that family were all 6 foot to 6.5 foot tall, red-haired Vikings who landed in Pique and stayed. So this guy is also Celtic. So I've got Portuguese and Celtic blood running through. But yeah, the thing is
that's why he kept saying Portuguese the other night.
Yeah, that's what he always says Portuguese, you know. But
yeah, it's so funny.
But I think that he led this charmed life. He worked with some of the most dangerous chemicals known to man and explosives that you could possibly imagine. And we never really knew through the 60s and 70s out where, you know, where he worked and I now work, if he was going to make it home. And we had cases where he would walk out of a building and the building would explode behind him. And we lost friends in the 60s when the safety wasn't all that good. So he's done very well. And I just thank God he's, you know, hit 73 and may get a 74th in, you know. And So, yeah, hey, it'll be... Oh, God, we got off onto a real deep topic, didn't we?
Well, I wanted everybody to understand that why a spirit is in a location. It's not only because of a, you know, what was there before. And in this case, the house isn't haunted per se. It's not the house that's haunted. It's the property that has lingering spirit activity because of what happened before the house was built, long before the house was built, but also some of the things that are happening inside your house now probably has to do with the fact that your house.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
And family members are gathering around, not only to help him eventually through to the other side, but also to help you guys deal with what's happening with what's happening right now with him.
Well, it's so funny because my mother, you know, she's very accepting of all this, and she's the one that taught me about the paranormal. You know, I mean, when I was 17, when I was really out of control, she had the perfect antidote. She threw me up in our second home up in Paradise and didn't tell me the place was friggin' haunted. And left me up there for a summer by myself, and I had a dead uncle watching over me because it 3 o'clock in the morning, I mean, the house was coming alive and stuff was going on, you wouldn't believe, and then something got into bed with me, and I had this panic phone call at 3 a.m. going, this place is nuts, help, get me out of here. So,
yeah, if you ever want to straighten out your 17-year-old kid, put him in a haunted house by himself.
Damn straight, Pilgrim, you don't do that, man, but I came out of it a better man for the experience. You know, it taught me that there were some things I really didn't know about and really humbled me. But it was only later in life I really began to appreciate just how complicated all this was. And, you know,
yeah.
I think Mom, now it's funny because she'll have a sighting and she can't wait for me to get home and then I'll come in because I'm too basically taking care of the ranch and doing all the heavy stuff around here. But I'll come home from work, drop in and see them, and she'll go, you got your meter? Get the recorder. Get quick. You know? And she'll just be like going crazy. And I'm going to buy her own equipment so she can do her own.
Oh, that's a really good idea. That's a good idea. I think she'd be a great investigator. She's great.
Oh, God. Look at, oh, my goodness. We've got Annette Jones. I've been on her show once. So, hello, Annette. We got Ace Elliott, I think. That's Ace Elliott, and, Linus of Angels has joined us. So hello to all you guys, and we continue to, and people are out there talking. I find it difficult to type and talk at the same time, so I'm just kind of, you know, looking there and saying hello. Annette's saying, I got a name for an answer, and a cemetery wants to. You know, cemeteries, that's a good subject. Thanks, Annette. Hi, we see you. Cemeteries, you hunt those, don't you?
Oh, are you talking to me or Annette?
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You and I have gone to a lot of cemeteries together. We're cemetery people, aren't we?
Darn straight. It's you know, it's funny because some people say that cemeteries aren't haunted. Well, man, I've got the EVPs to prove they're haunted.
Yeah,
and,
you do.
Yep, and I think you've got, you know, quite a bit out of those places, and you've seen the spirits in there.
Yeah, I have, and cemeteries are they're kind of a revered place as far as I'm concerned. It's, you know, they're you can really commune with the people who were buried there, and they like to get visitors. I feel a lot different than I used to feel about cemeteries. I used to feel that you know, the person's gone and they're no longer there, but since you and I have been going to as many cemeteries as we have been going to, I feel a little differently about that, to tell you the truth, because I can feel that they appreciate us being there. Just an example is that old forgotten cemetery that we went to in Virginia City before we were on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
I felt that they were so grateful that we were there. It was amazing. The feeling that I had in that cemetery. And I go to a lot of cemeteries. You go to a lot of cemeteries. But that one really got to me. You know, they were very grateful that we came to visit them because it
That was that second one, the main attraction, but the one, the actual Gold Hill Cemetery, which people don't really realize it's there, and it's just a huge and it's you know what? Even though it's kind of in disrepair, that is a beautiful cemetery. There was just a great and a good energy there, and I just and it's still somewhat in use. So
It was amazing, though. You could tell that there were once there were trees there. There's wood. And people used wood there instead of concrete, like they do in most cemeteries, or what they did in most cemeteries. They used wood for gates around the graves, and the wood is all deteriorated. And so it was just a different feeling in that cemetery. I was really impressed and moved by being there. I'm glad we went.
Yeah, and I'm still working to get to that particular evidence, you know, analysis of those cemeteries, because we did the Boot Hill, you know, in Virginia City, and then we had that one, and I'm looking forward to both, because I went up there to in the Virginia City one, and we got to the top of that hill after we were both huffing and puffing. God, we survived!
Yeah,
you know, but
definitely me.
Yeah, we were both. Hey, I was feeling it too. Come on, you know. But we got up to the top, and I was just I was asking them about that one guy that the county is named after. I can't remember his name, but I think it's Nye County or something like that. But he was the one that the Ghost Adventures crew went up there, and they got chased out by him in the middle of the night. This guy got really ticked off at him, and he punched him. And so I asked him what did they say to you that ticked you off so bad? So I had this big long running EVP session with him, and I'm hoping we fix something up, because if I do get that, I've just started talking with Zach, and so I'm going to send him the EVPs and go, you know, this is what this guy said about you. So I hope I get something.
I have to say that I still don't get people running from an investigation. It's like, okay, you go to an investigation to get evidence of spirit activity. You get the evidence of spirit activity and you run for the hills. I don't get it.
Well, if they're pounding the crap out of you, I think it's time to run. Especially if you're in there provoking them. Do you walk into a bar and, you know, pick a fight with the biggest guy there? I mean, you know, this guy's like, you know, I don't know. You know, when you're dealing with an entity that can do stuff to you and you can't punch back, I just think that it's better to be nice. But
yeah,
you know,
perfect.
Yeah, you know, I just,
we're always nice.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'll provoke. Sometimes I will provoke a little, but what I'll do is I'll say, "Oh man, I guess I thought too much." You know, that you,
you're just too nice of a guy to provoke for real, though. They know better.
Well, you know, the one time I did it, that guy at the what was it, a Coloma at that miner's cabin. I ticked that guy off so bad, and he said, I got this EVP, and he goes, I'll find you. And so I heard that, and the hair went up on me. I went, I don't need to wake up with this guy doing some damn headless thing on me in the middle of the night. So I manned up and went back, and I apologized to him, and first thing I flipped my recorder on, he was screaming at me on the EVP, and I just went, oh, boy. So I settled down and I told him, hey, look, this isn't going to work for me doing this. And I told him why I did it and what I was trying to do. And he actually took the apology, you know, and I got a great EVP out of it, him saying, okay, you know, deal. And he wants to actually be crossed over. And you and I have got to do that crossover thing.
Yeah, we have to do that. We have to get up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sorry if I'm taking over your show, but I got to tell you. Well, when I was there Friday and we were doing the EVP sessions of when you and the rest of the team, I couldn't make it to that investigation at the bookery. We've got to talk. If we're talking about EVPs, we've got to talk about
that. Oh, man, that one was insane.
God.
Yeah, I'll set it up as we had my cousin who is he has a thing called aphasia, and I actually am an aphasic myself. I actually recovered from a traumatic injury to my brain and went through years and years of rehabilitation and speech therapy because I couldn't even talk. And my cousin has the same condition, and he was injured in a similar way to me. Unfortunately, he didn't get the therapy that I did, and so he is a little borderline. He can get by in life, but he has his issues. But let me tell you what, this you know, he's doing really well in life. He's in his 40s, and he is one kick-butt investigator. I mean, this guy will wade right into a cemetery, no questions asked, and just sit there in the middle of, you know, middle of the, you know, night, holding out a recorder going, okay, what do you want me to do? You know, he's just ready to go. So he came along on our overnighter at the Bookery in downtown Placerville, and we spent the night in that store, and, you know, we were feeling stuff. And I gave him the recorder and said, go to it, and he went to it. And we ended up with a two-minute-long EVP whispering session. It was, and we ruled out everybody. It was definitely a spirit, and 2 minutes long. We've never, I mean, you know.
No. It's really unheard of.
I've never heard of such a thing. And, you know, go figure. You hand him a recorder and he brings home a whale on you, you know. So.
Yeah, and this entity was following him around very close to him and whispering constantly different things, not an intelligent conversation, certainly, but it was one thing after another without any pauses.
Yeah.
And it went on for 2 minutes. I've never heard anything like that before.
Yeah, and things were being said about Russians. We had a whole bunch of Russian references, and then there was there was something about nice. What was it? Nice something.
A novel.
Nice novel. Yeah. Nice.
Liked the novel. He was doing was when he was walking, he was looking at some of the books.
Yeah.
And I could hear him talking about the books, and then the whispering would come right after whatever he said. And in one case, in one instance, which was phenomenal as far as I was concerned, as far as evidentiary.
What?
EVP was when you and he were talking and the whispering was going right over the two of you talking, which means that it could not have been him under his breath. And there was nobody else with you when you were talking. So it was definitely evidential EVP, spirit communication there.
Yeah, I agree, and I think what we'll do is probably on one of the upcoming shows, maybe next week, we're going to have a paranormal author on, similar to you, and I think we'll go ahead and play that one just at the, you know, in the first half hour, and just have folks listen to this and straight through.
That's amazing.
Because
it's just a
really, really awesome piece of evidence, and you know, and Kevin, you know, his mother is my aunt. On my mom's side, and my aunt is an extremely very, very sensitive psychic. I mean, this woman can just do amazing things, and like all the girls in the family, my mother is very, very good. And George, what she can do too is she'll occasionally bilocate, which I actually had the experience to see that. She walked right by me in the hallway in our ranch house here. Then I realized I walked by somebody that was actually gray and kind of floating funny, and I turned and looked, and she was gone. And when I rounded the corner, here came George from the laundry room, and she looked at me, and she says, "You saw that, didn't you?" And I went, "Yeah, yeah, I saw it, man. What the hell was that?" You know? And she's like,
"What are you trying to do to me?"
Oh, she was all embarrassed. She goes, "I can't control it." And I, "Well, what are you trying to control it for?" "That's cool. Do it again." She goes, "I can't make it happen on demand." Yeah, but she's able to. She's got some control over when it does happen. But so I don't. I'm not surprised Kevin's got abilities to draw spirits to him.
Yeah.
With the condition he's had, I think that aphasics like him and me, I think we do draw them. I don't know what it is, but
I agree with you.
I think it would be interesting to find another aphasic and see if they're really good at drawing spirits.
Yeah.
We'll use them for EVP. Yeah. The aphasic.
Well, one of the things that spirit said, and that we both heard very plainly, and then I had your mom listen to it, and she also heard it very plainly, was give this message to Jesse, you and I did not know this, but your mom did, that Jesse is the name of Kevin's best friend, and we didn't know that.
Yeah, and matter of fact, there had been a passing in the family. And I did talk to Kevin briefly about it, and he said he didn't remember who. But there had been a passing in the family, so we may have had a spirit tagging along, using Kevin as a conduit. try to get to the family. So we don't know the extent of all what this is all meaning yet, but Kevin.
Well, when I was in the bookery, I felt a lot of spirits in there. I mean, it was just loaded with them. So it's very possible that that's a portal. And if that's the case, then somebody who would be connected to somebody that Kevin knows, they might, you knowing that Kevin, if he was recording, could be why that they came through in that portal, not necessarily a part of the a spirit of the bookery all the time, but, maybe he came through because it's probably a portal.
Well, I'll tell you what, we had, I'll go into this probably when I get the full report done, but you know about the apparition I saw that night.
I came
face to face with this thing. It was 2 feet from me in a spot that our psychic that night, Kathy, had identified. And I came around a corner and got a hit on a K2, and it was one of those brief ones. And that was like the second hit that night in that spot. So I was looking for a plug or something causing it. And I bent down, and I had the recorder in my hand, and I looked up, and this gray thing about 3 foot tall leaned out and looked at me. And I jumped back, and it booked left and took off. And I'm like, I jumped up and started calling out and called my photographer over, and Jim came over and started shooting. And immediately we tried to debunk it, and we couldn't. The other thing that happened was as we went out to the command center in the back, it's kind of an open area in the back of the store, and we went to go back, and this chair picked itself up and threw itself right in front of me, right over the edge, and there was no way that it could have been us that caused that. We tried to debunk it, and we had to set up a really weird case to make that chair fall, and it just couldn't, we just couldn't explain it. And I'd gotten an EVP warning me not to do an investigation there, in the pre-investigation work. So they really didn't like us in the back there. and I really don't care because we're going back.
it's an interesting place.
Oh, gosh. All of Placerville is just one big giant
home. Yeah.
I mean, from... I mean, from right up where you live, because you're up at the other end of Main Street, way the heck up there, all the way back down south towards the Carey House, which is, a really famous haunted hotel there. It's hard not to get EVPs there, even on the street.
Yeah.
So, I really recommend to any of the audience that gets a chance, if you're ever going through towards Lake Tahoe or, you're heading to Sacramento, take a moment out of your time and head up to Placerville for the day and grab your recorder. You'll come away with some good...
Walk Main Street for about a couple minutes, maybe a half hour, and you'll get a whole line of recordings because you're walking right through spirits. Walking down Main Street.
Yeah, there was a lot of history there. There was actually, the Pony Express ran through there. We had all sorts of robberies that occurred there. There was some Civil War history we found out about, and a Civil War robbery there. A lot of hangings, and just an all-around, good old American violent West town, man. It was
that's right.
It was serious. So now it's a lot less violent, although it can be interesting to get parking. But that's the only bad part of that about that town is the parking is just a disaster. It's just the parking garage is better now. I mean, I got to give them that. So
they need to do something though.
Yep.
They haven't figured it out yet. They're still in transition, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're coming up about a minute and a half off the end of the show, and. Just want to thank everybody for coming in and listening to us reminisce and talk about cases and stuff. Hey, you want to do it again? You want to come on again and talk about stuff?
Sure.
Okay, we'll have you on it. As a matter of fact, I kind of half promised that you would do psychic readings. Do you give like remote readings to people or?
I don't do it unless I used to read tarot cards. And the last couple times that I've tarot cards for somebody, they were so true, they got upset.
So
I stopped doing it when I saw this woman's husband die, and she got really upset. So I thought, people say that they want to know what their future is, but they really don't want to know.
They just want to hear the good stuff and all that.
They just want to hear that they're going to win the lottery, and let's face it, that doesn't happen that often.
Well, 200 million people, you're going to get a few, right? So. Well, hey, I want to thank everybody. We're coming up at 30 seconds left in the show, so let's say hi to Ace Elliott, Annette Jones. Hey, I'm going to listen to your show. I haven't been on there in a while, so I'll say hello to you. Brian and Fallen Rock at Haunted America Radio. Just didn't know you guys were out there. We're going to check you out. And Lioness of Angels. That's kind of a neat title there, Lioness of Angels. So we got 9 seconds.
I think you're one of my Facebook friends.
All right. Well, we got 5 seconds, so bye, everybody.
Bye, John. Thanks.
Hey, you're welcome.